Well, there's a crisis in the church today. I'll tell you, it's a crisis of courage. And we can talk about dying for the faith. Are we willing to live for the faith today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, there is a crisis in the church today, and it is a crisis of courage. It is a crisis of, will people stand up for what's right? Will people stand up for the truth? Will leaders stand up when it's costly? Will believers stand up when it's costly? When we have to swim against the tide, when we have to go against the grain, will we do it? Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today. I want to stir your heart. Oh, yeah, I want to help light a fire under you and encourage you today. Coming away live from Dallas, Texas, where I've been doing video recording for the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute and some other ministry. And thank you. Thank you for praying for me. I'll tell you why I'm so thankful for your prayer support in a moment. But I want to put a question out to you, all right? And then I want to talk to you about this issue of courage and standing true to the faith. I want to put a question out to you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here's my question. What message does America need to hear today? Now, I know we're reeling from the bombing in Boston, and that is fresh in everyone's mind. And late last night, I was reading about the dad, oh my, 8-year-old son killed, 6-year-old daughter loses a leg. He has some minor shrapnel injuries. 12-year-old escapes injury. Wife had brain surgery. I mean, this is all just being there at the marathon. The devastation, overwhelming. And I know that many Americans identify with the wounds and the pain and are still shaken. But let's step back from that just a little. Or perhaps in the aftermath of that, what message does America need to hear today? Does America need to hear the message of coming judgment? Judgment is coming, as our friend Jonathan Kahn has said in his best-selling book, The Harbinger. Judgment is coming. Wake up. America's under judgment. Wake up. Again, let's not even be thinking in terms of the Boston Marathon unless you think that's evidence that God's hand of protection is off of us. But I'm not saying God did not do that. God did not set off a terrorist bomb. Does America need to hear a message of judgment and wrath with an offer of grace and mercy? Or is that outdated? Is that outmoded? Is that the very message that drives people away? Does America need to hear a message now of comfort and the love of God? Or is it a warning of coming wrath with a promise of love if we repent? Now, that ties in with my subject. Some of you already understand how. But what do you think? What kind of message does America need to hear? Now, I'm not talking about the Church of America. I'm talking about society. Do we need to bring a message of you can prosper and be blessed? America, your key to financial prosperity and success is to put your trust in Jesus. Is that what America needs to hear? Does America need to hear you have turned away from God? You have slaughtered the unborn. You have opened the door wide to sexual immorality and perversion. You have exported pornography around the world. You have been greedy and corrupt. You need to repent before judgment falls even more severely. And if you repent, God will have mercy. Or is it a message of, I know you're hurting and I know you're in pain and God just wants you to know how much he loves you? What's the message America needs to hear? 866-348-7884. What do you think? I'll be sharing some of the responses I'm getting on Twitter and Facebook already. There is news that a suspect has been identified and apprehended and in the bombing, so we'll know more about that momentarily. But you see, friends, right now, with the crisis of courage in the pulpit and the crisis of courage in the church, I'm concerned that many of us will not be willing to speak the truth if it's costly. It's Wednesday here on The Line of Fire. We focus on the world, on moral, cultural issues. I want to talk to you about the role of the church in society. I'll tell you about a very moving event that happened last night and why I'm so appreciative of your prayers when we come back right here on The Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. So coming your way live from Dallas, Texas, 866-348-7884. Does America need to hear a message now? Nachamu, Nachamu ami, Amar Lehechem. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, Isaiah 40. Or is America not God's people? Is God looking at the blood of the unborn? Is God looking at the injustice in our society? Is God looking at the breakdown of family in our society? Is God looking at the redefinition of marriage in our society? Is God looking at our exporting of pornography around the world? Is God looking at thing after thing we've done wrong and perhaps some of our world activities not being altogether righteous? And is he saying, repent, because judgment is in the land and wrath is coming and my hand of protection is off of you? What's he saying? Is it only the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repent? Is that what Paul's teaching in Romans 2? If so, how come Peter didn't preach like that in Acts 2? Why was his message, you crucified the Messiah, now repent? And of course, if you repent, God will have mercy on you. 866-348-7884. I'll get you your calls, your comments. I've got some inspirational quotes to share with you. And we'll keep one eye on the news as well so that we can report any breaking news about the terrorist bombing at the Boston Marathon. Let me just tell you what happened yesterday. I'm here to do several things in Dallas, Fort Worth right now. So I'm on the road with my high-tech portable radio equipment connecting back to my home studio. And after each show, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so today being the last day, I then record about 5 hours straight, maybe more, about 5 hours straight, classes for Messianic Jewish Bible Institute that will then be translated into multiple languages and used around the world by God's grace, equipping people for Jewish ministry and outreach. So it's a pretty rigorous schedule. You know, we got to teach with focus and with passion and with clarity, hour after hour after hour. And they arranged it around my radio schedule. I said, it's the only way I can do it. This morning, I spoke at a chapel service for the King's University here in Dallas, their Dallas branch. I spoke at a chapel service first before coming here. But Monday night, I slept really badly. I don't know why, but I slept really badly. And when it was time to do radio yesterday, I was tired before radio. But after radio, I had to do about 5 hours of video recording. And then after that, Skype to California for an hour to speak to pastors in America and leaders who would come over from an Asian country because of the issues of homosexual activism and same-sex marriage that they're confronted with, and trying to find out what's a Christ-like way to address these. And this was going to be recorded so that what I spoke could then be shared with 15 or 16,000 other pastors in America. And then after that, there was going to be Q&A. And before radio, I was tired. Now, to do 2 hours of radio, I love radio. I'm energized to do radio. I'm charged to do radio. I mean, this is thrill and joy of my life to be on the air with you. And you know that. You can feel that and hear that in my voice. But I was zonked before radio. And then after radio, I had to go another seven-something hours almost continuously. And I just said, Lord, I didn't try to get a bad night's sleep. I'm not being abusive with my schedule. I just need your grace and help. And I asked folks to pray. And I want you to know, I was tired, but it went wonderfully. I was energized. I was blessed. I was stirred. The classes we recorded, I think, were sharp and clear. And then the people I spoke to via Skype were really ministered to. And we got to talk about the issue of martyrdom. We got to talk about the issue of suffering for the gospel. And I want to make this very clear. I don't believe there's a gay activist in America who wants to physically harm me or kill me, okay? Any more than there's a zealous Christian that wants to kill a gay activist. There's hostility towards me. A lot of people would like to shut me up and silence me. They'd be happy if I just went away. If I broke some law, they'd be happy to say, okay, you discriminated against us, we're going to take you to court for it. But I don't personally feel my life is in danger because of gay activism. I don't feel my life is in danger right now because of Islam in America, but the day could come when that would change. But we just were talking about the fact that to stand up for what's right today, to simply say, you know, if you come into my store, you know, I'm a florist, Baronel Stutzman, it just happened, an older woman, florist for decades and decades. She's had gay employees. She serves the gay community. That's not an issue to her. Gay man comes in, and he and his partner are going to get, quote, married, and they want her to do the flower arrangements. And she said, I can't. That's a violation of my Christian beliefs. I don't believe in two men marrying. Well, taking it to court. It's discrimination. What's going to win out? Sexual freedoms? The romantic attraction and sexual desires of a tiny minority of the country? Or fundamental religious freedoms and values that we've held to through the centuries? Well, we were talking about the fact that a lot of people aren't willing to stand. They're not willing to stand. And this pastor from Asia was in tears afterwards after I spoke and said, we just have to go back to the foundation of the gospel. One leading American pastor said, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do if rather than the church being the ruling majority in some way, when I say ruling, the dominant force in culture and the large majority, what if the church becomes the underground force, the oppressed minority? I said, you know, we tend to do better as the persecuted minority than as the ruling majority. And he said, what do we do? I said, we just go back to the word, find out what it means to follow Jesus, and we follow him by life or by death. Again, I'm not saying that gay activists are trying to kill me. I'm not saying that. I'm not equating gay activists with Nazis or radical Muslims in terms of potential violence or things like that. I am saying that there is a clash and that standing against certain things in our society today and standing for others is costly. You'll be mocked. You'll be vilified. It'll cost you financially. It could cost you a court case. You could end up in jail. You could be marginalized, ostracized. Your behavior could ultimately be criminalized. Standing up for what's right could be criminalized. And I said, we just have to get back to the gospel. I said, look, I go to India every year. I've washed the feet of martyrs' widows. One of my spiritual sons was martyred last year by Muslim terrorists on the mission field. We just don't talk about it much because of the sensitivity of the issues and because of the work of the gospel continuing in that country. This reality, following Jesus by life or by death, is reality. And we're a little afraid that someone's going to blast us on Facebook if we speak up for what's right. We're afraid that we'll get bad media coverage if we speak up for what's right. We're afraid that a rich tithing member will leave our congregation if we speak up for what's right. And yet there are people being martyred for the faith, and we hail them and celebrate them, and we're afraid to just take a stand for what's right? So this pastor from Asia was just in tears saying, we know what we have to do. We have to take up the cross. We have to follow Jesus. I just wonder, though, if we need to bring a message of warning to America, are we willing to? Oh, not in a mean-spirited, angry God way that we're full of rage. No, people should see a broken heart from us. If we speak about judgment, we just do it with tears. But I wonder how many have the courage to stand. 866-348-7884 to the phones. Larry in Washington, D.C., you're first up on the line of fire today. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, Larry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead, please.
My thought on this is that America has turned its back on God. They've passed laws that clearly go against what he stands for. They clearly are showing a way that they're no longer practicing what they preach, and that's in God we trust. And what you have is a president who clearly has gone and made his views known on where he stands on a same-sex marriage. So it's America. America is turning its back on God, and you know as well as I do, when you do that, there's consequences for that. There's severe consequences. When you read the scriptures and let you know these different kingdoms that did do that, there's a price to be paid. So America needs to backstep and look at what they've done. Get back to the foundation of what America originally stood for and go right back to what it was. And as far as the church and people wanting to stand up for truth, we have a serious problem because today the laws have been passed where they've kind of muzzled a lot of the pastors because They don't want you preaching what's in the scripture when it comes to same-sex marriage or gay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of pastors have shied away from actually speaking what's in the scriptures. So, yeah, we the people who follow God, the Christians, we have to take a close look at ourselves. This is already predestined to what's going to happen as far as persecution and standing up for what's right. It's coming. We might as well prepare ourselves for that because there's no way getting around. So, yes, America truly hasn't been tested when it comes to standing up for God.
Yeah, and Larry, just to jump in, you've said a lot. I agree with what you said. Friends, a lot of pastors, leaders, individual believers are unwilling to stand up for truth, and it costs us almost nothing now. What happens if it really costs us? What are we going to do? Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Abraham Lincoln, to sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men. Dr. Martin Luther King, history will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. Gary Amaral said, silence is evil's closest ally. Martin Luther King again, a time comes when silence is betrayal. Are we willing to speak up for what is right in a time of testing? Let me say again, if we're not willing to speak up when the consequences are relatively small, maybe someone will attack us on Facebook. Maybe we'll get blasted by the local media. Maybe people will make fun of us at school. Maybe we'll get fired from a job. Maybe we'll get taken to court. This is relatively minor when it comes to persecution, opposition to the gospel, to the faith over the centuries. If we're unwilling to speak up when it's easy, what makes us think we're going to speak up when it's right? 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Are you connected with me on Facebook? Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Are you following me on Twitter? That's Dr. D-R Michael L. Brown on Twitter. If you don't get my e-blast, wow, you missed the email that went out this morning with the link to my article, my prophetic rebuke, my open letter to Reverend Jim Wallace. You didn't get that. Or link to an article I wrote for Logos Bible Software on Jesus the Revolutionary. Make sure you get my emails. Just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. And right on the home page, you can't miss it. Sign up for the e-blast. 866-34-TRUTH. What kind of message does America need to hear today? Do we need to recognize that we've sinned against God and that judgment is at hand? Is that what's going to bring awakening? Or Americans just beat up and discouraged and they just need to know how much God loves them? Or is there a way to combine those two messages? 866-348-7884. Brad in Franklin Square on Long Island. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I believe that America does need to hear the truth. And the truth is that we have not been following God and His word in the Bible. We've turned against Him with abortion and everything that's going on in this country today. And I honestly believe that we need to turn back. And yes, if the truth means that America needs to hear about the wrath of God, then so be it. But things have gone too far.
All right, Brad, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Another reminder, all of my friends listening right now in WMCA, Greater New York, onto Long Island, WLIX, all of my friends in the Greater New York area, please join me Friday night, May 10th. Mark it down. I'm coming in just for you. We're not going to have thousands of people at a big church hosting this. We've got building we'll be using. We'll sharing together with Pillars of Faith Church, room for a few hundred people. So plan to get there early, 7 o'clock, Friday night, May 10th. It's time for revolution in New York. I want to stir your hearts. I want to encourage you. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, the listeners. I want to meet some of you face to face and encourage your hearts and challenge you. Put that on the calendar, Friday night, May 10th, 7 o'clock in Queens, New York. 866-348-7884. Mary in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. In response to your question, I think that Americans want to hear solely about God's love and mercy, but they need to hear about his judgment as well as his mercy. Throughout the Bible, societies are judged and they're destroyed when they turn against God. So why would we in the United States expect that we would be spared from his judgment? We've turned away from God in so many ways. We've condoned abortion, homosexuality, pornography, sexual relations outside of marriage. So I think we absolutely need to turn back to God. We need to hear of his judgment, and we need also to hear of his mercy and turn back to him.
Yeah, and, you know, Mary, David Wilkerson would use this principle. Look at how God judged other nations in Scripture. Look at the principles by which he judged them, and then apply those same principles to America. We're not saying that America is Israel or America is the special chosen nation. We're saying that the same ways by which God judged other nations, he'll judge us. And he does bring judgment after the cross as well to those who don't repent. And sin does have terrible consequences. And then to the extent we've had Christian roots, to the extent that we've known God in the past, to the extent that we've had a strong Christian witness, we're all the more responsible. Hey, Mary, just very quickly right now, living in Boston, what would you say is the atmosphere in the city right now? Is it still stunned? Is it mourning? Is there a fear everywhere? What would you say is the atmosphere from what you can tell there in Boston?
Well, I actually live outside Boston in the suburbs.
Okay.
So, you know, life here is pretty much going on as usual. You know, I've just heard people, you know, who were in the marathon that, you know, it was a lot of chaos just to get out of the city.
Right. But, you know, you really wonder, though, that underscores as much as this is in front of us now and national shock and agony, how quickly people just go on. And, of course, we should recover at a certain level, but do we just go on? Should we go on? Should we ask deeper questions? Mary, thank you for calling and weighing in. I want to get to all of your calls in the next half hour. So stay right there, 866-34-TRUTH. You know, the issue of redefining marriage is so big. The issue of gay activism. Yes, we should have compassion on all people. Yes, we should teach our kids to be nice. We should teach them that bullying is bad. But the celebration of homosexuality, the redefining of marriage, the attack on gender, and on, it's undoing our nation in so many ways. I have a 5-DVD series. It's a $60 series. We really want to get it out to everybody. It's life-changing. You'll be so informed. You'll learn what the Bible says about key issues. You'll learn how to minister effectively to the gay and lesbian community. You'll understand how to answer key objections. You'll even watch me debate with a gay activist who claims to be a born-again Christian. It's a $60 series. If you can afford that, please do. If you can afford to give more, please do and help us with our radio broadcast bills. But your gift of any size, because some of you can't afford that, I want to send it out to you. Your gift of any size, we'll send this series out to you, and you'll find it life-changing. Pastor from Asia said, yeah, he got the whole thing, and it's been incredibly impacting for him. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of this. Those that can pay for it, do so. Those who can give extra, help us. But everyone, take advantage of this. You need this material. Pastors, leaders, get it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So does America need to hear a message of comfort? I'm not just talking about in the aftermath of the horrors of the bombing in Boston. Does America need to hear a message now of comfort and, hey, God loves you and wants to heal your wounds, and I know you're broken and hurting and everything's all right. In Romans 2, the goodness of God, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. Does America need to hear a message of wake up? Judgment's in the land. Your families are falling apart. Morality is falling apart. The economy is falling apart. Wake up. Judgment is here. Judgment is coming. God will have mercy on you if you repent. Is there a combination of the two messages? There are some today who say we should not preach a message of judgment. There are others who feel that's the only message we should preach. 866-348-7884. Welcome to your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I quoted from Billy Graham the other day. He said, comfort and prosperity have never enriched the world as much as adversity has. And I have to thank those who are so aggressively pushing their agenda to the point that standing up for what's right, standing up for moral convictions is actually being criminalized and people are being fired from jobs and kicked out of schools for standing up for what's right. You say, thank people? Yeah, because the church in America has just been asleep. We've been asleep in the midst of prosperity. We've been asleep in the midst of carnality. We've been asleep in the midst of compromise. We've been asleep in the midst of our mega success in certain ways. And look, I minister for mega churches, and some of them are some of the finest churches in America, and some would never have me, and I'd never go there. And there are house churches that are tremendous, and there are house churches that are not. So I'm not measuring by size or if that's better or worse. What I'm saying is, by and large, if you will put on, let's say you watch Christian TV, you will not find much of a wake-up call. You will not find much of a stirring. You will find primarily get bigger, better, fatter, spiritually speaking. Have more. And God knows you're hurting. Well, he knows you're hurting, and he also says you're hurting because of sin. Sometimes that's the case. You're hurting because of sin. Repent, and you won't be hurting there anymore. Does America need to be coddled and comforted right now, or does America need to be rebuked and stirred? And then, having been rebuked and stirred, we'll find comfort before the Lord. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Carlton in West Brighton, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. God bless you.
Bless you.
In response to your question, it just seems like today the pure gospel has not been passed down from generation to generation. You know, the gospel that Jesus Christ is our substitute. He was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. That has been replaced with a gospel of prosperity, a gospel of comfort, a gospel of inclusivism, no matter what you believe, no matter what you do, a gospel where, you know, one of the lures is that you can have purpose in God. Although you can have purpose in God, the purpose to repent is to glorify God and to trust in Jesus Christ and to follow him only, to be his disciple. That is not preached today in America. It's preached, you know, few and far between. And mostly, like you just mentioned before, it's getting bigger, a bigger, better you.
Yeah, and Carl, just to jump in.
Self-denial.
Yeah, let me just jump in on the heels of that because we have a break. Carlton's point is, yes, there's a dream and a purpose in God, but it's God's purpose. In other words, the way we preach it in America is come to Jesus and he'll help you fulfill your dreams and fulfill your vision. No, it's come to Jesus and die to your dreams, your vision, your plan, and come alive. Come alive to God's vision, God's plan, God's dream, and as you do that, then you find out what you're really made for. Die, and then you live. 866-348-7884. Oh, have you heard about a policy development at McDonald's?
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, we need moral, cultural, spiritual revolution because we've lost our moral sense. We need moral, spiritual, cultural revolution because we've lost our moral bearings. When you want to start redefining marriage and say that marriage is this union of two people or more, whatever, and marriage loses its meaning. When you say gender is how you define yourself, if you define yourself as male or female or both or neither, as is a school policy, for example, Los Angeles School District. When you have these things, we've lost sense of right and wrong. When you have cohabitation, people living together outside of wedlock, up 1,500% from what it was a generation ago, we've lost our moral bearings. And we could be horrified over the events of the Boston Marathon, but day and night, the terrorist bombing there, but then day and night, watch gratuitous violence of people being blown to bits and so on, be entertained by it. We've lost our moral bearings. We need a moral culture revolution. We need a wake-up call. 866-348-7884. I sometimes get accused, you just attack transgenders. No, actually, my heart breaks for people who say I'm a man trapped inside a woman's body, woman trapped inside a man's body. Well, Mike, you can't relate to it. True, I can't. But I can try to think of someone being so traumatized that they'll actually walk down the street, a man walk down the street dressed like a woman. Everyone can see that's a man, but somehow he feels better about himself. That is a painful sight to see. And my heart breaks for that. And I say we need to better understand how these things happen and come either with a secular or a spiritual solution to help them and stand by them. But just so you just look, this is what we're dealing with these days. Okay. In Arizona, there was a situation where a man was going into the ladies' room, and people realized, wait, there's someone in the ladies' room in the stall over here that's urinating the way a man would. He was standing up, ultimately, there was the grocery store said, oh, okay, you cannot use the ladies' room. The ladies' room is for ladies. So he's upset about it. He was upset because he dressed as a woman. He was upset when he was a boy going to the boys' room in school, and he'd get made fun of by other boys. I guess he dressed or behaved differently. Well, here this is now what McDonald's has decided to do. Seattle, Washington. They have reaffirmed the particular franchise there, their stance on bathroom policy. They posted it. You ready? I don't know which McDonald's in Seattle this was, but this was a McDonald's in Seattle. We respect the rights of all customers and employees. We believe all people must have access to safe and dignified bathroom facilities regardless of their gender expression, a gender identity or expression. Therefore, the following policy has been adopted for this restaurant at 1530 3rd Avenue. Now, let's remember McDonald's have a lot of families, a lot of little kids go there, right? You don't normally say to your spouse, your wealthy older couple, hey, let's have a date night, go to McDonald's. No, it's McDonald's, younger families, kids, things like that. This is the policy. Employees and customers may use any restroom that corresponds with and is based upon the gender identity they publicly and exclusively assert or express. We are committed to the principles of non-discrimination as provided by Washington law. Thank you. You get that? So here's a man who identifies as a woman, dresses as a woman. He's obviously a man, dresses as a woman. Biologically a man, dresses as a woman. He can now use, by the stated policy here of the McDonald's, he can now use the ladies' room. So you're in there, mom with your 8-year-old daughter and your 4-year-old daughter, and here someone walks in there who is obviously a male in female clothes, made up, and goes into the stall and realizes there's someone standing there. You see feet standing there going the way a man would go. Oh, no, you see, McDonald's respects the rights of all customers and employees. No, it doesn't. It's trashing the rights, mocking the rights, and the simple sanity of a men's room for men and a women's room for women. It is trashing the rights and mocking the rights of everybody else, of all the women and all the men. That's how deeply our society is turned on its head. I use that as an example. And I say what I'm concerned of is, look, you, and I'm going to go back to your phones in one moment. There is the recent situation with a mixed martial arts fighter, a man who 6 years ago, had sex change surgery, has been on female hormones since, and fighting mixed martial arts. And some of the women said, I'm not going to fight. They call her, I'm not going to fight her because she still has male bone structure. And some doctors said, no, after 6 years of hormones, back to the way it would have been if you were just female. And others said, no, there's density, bone density, different thing. That's a man. I'm a woman. I'm not going to fight a man. Well, there was a UFC, which is the premier league of mixed martial arts. One of their heavyweight fighters basically said, yeah, that's a man beating up other women. And then said some very harsh things about the person individually and was then banned or suspended from fighting in the UFC because of the comments. But UFC said they were transphobic. Say, what's transphobic? That's, you see, that's, there's homophobic, there's biphobic, there's transphobic. This is now a word being used by the UFC, by mixed martial artists, not by gay activists. My point is the mindset of the society. It's like everybody just drinks the Kool-Aid. I'm going to read my letter to Reverend Jim Wallace over the air in a moment. But where are those willing to speak the truth in love? Fine, call me a bigot. Call me a homophobe. Call me a transphobe. You can call me names. I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm not listening to your show anymore. I'm not trying to get more listeners. I'm trying to honor the Lord. And as I honor the Lord, he'll give me more than enough listeners. And I'd rather have 100,000 listeners who are willing to give their all for Jesus than 10 million listeners who just want to be entertained. Or I won't support you. Well, I'm leaning on the Lord because we don't have enough support. Anyway, if God doesn't back us and God doesn't help us, what are we going to do? Well, we'll get you off the air. Well, if the day comes when we can't broadcast the truth, then God will give us another means to get it out. Paul's put in prison and writes letters that are read around the world. John Bunyan's put in prison and writes one of the best-selling books in world history. God has his ways of getting the message out. But I am concerned that we all too often compromise and give in before there's even a battle. Greg in Orange, New Jersey, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, good afternoon. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes. You mentioned Jonathan Cahn. I've worked with Jonathan a number of years. In fact, I was the one led by the Holy Spirit that brought him into Haiti. I was sent in there, and it was a mission. It was a great mission. Anyway, because there is actually coding in that product. But to pick up on your theme today, and you just mentioned Paul Bunyan, in the Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah, John Bunyan, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, one of the most dangerous deceptions is when Christian came through the battles and it started getting nice and he walks through the field of flowers. And with the field of flowers, he's so comfortable, he begins to sit down and go to sleep. And I believe that's a reflection of the United States. And the only way, and I believe that's why Jonathan was actually brought in. The Holy Spirit brought him into Washington. They would never have chosen him if they would have checked his background, because what he delivered to them was cross the T's, dot the I's, and right on the line. He delivered the message. And the message that you're talking about today is the message of the heart of the United States. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is salvation. Unless you bring in the balance of the fear of God, you're not going to move to salvation. You're not going to see a value in it. And the same way with the United States. Unless they come to the vision of what is happening to their nation, they are in comfort right now. And I believe the fear of the Lord and the reality of what is coming down will, but only to those that will look and listen, trying to hear. Because the message.
And Greg, yeah, let me just jump in. Your phone was cutting out on me a little bit there. Is there fear of the Lord in America? not fear of this vengeful tyrant, the way the atheists paint him, and you don't know what he's going to do next, and who's he going to wipe out, and he's genocidal and maniacal. No, no, no. The God of Scripture, who's perfect in justice, perfect in righteousness, slow to anger, great in mercy, but who does not pardon the guilty. Friends, is America conscious of that God? Is there a recognition that there are consequences to wrong actions? Is there an understanding that we reap what we sow? Look, put aside even the issue of earthquakes or tornadoes or hurricanes. Is that God's judgment on honor for foreign enemy invaded? Is that God's judgment on honor? Just look at how we have reaped what we've sown, and we are in a state of moral and spiritual chaos. Wake up time. I'm going to read my letter to Jim Wallace when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, in a moment I want to tell you about something special that we're doing for you, our listeners that are standing with us and helping us and supporting us. Thank you for your prayers yesterday. I was exhausted and had a very, very intense schedule. Got back to my hotel room. I guess it would have been 11-something Eastern Standard Time after teaching and speaking, maybe 8-9 straight hours, but in a very intense atmosphere, and I came into it exhausted and was strong through it. So thank you for praying. 866-348, we've been asking the question, what kind of message America needs to hear? But I want to read this publicly. This is an article that I posted yesterday on charismanews.com. I have been getting calls from national leaders and texts from national leaders thanking me for this. Because Reverend Jim Wallace is a public figure, he's an advisor to the president. I did copy his ministry on what I posted, but this is a public letter to a public figure about public stands he's taken. He's an advisor to the president. He's the founder of Sojourners. The article is entitled, Jim Wallace, You Have Betrayed the Word of God and the People of God. I wrote it with a heavy heart and a burden for Jim Wallace. Reverend Wallace, you told us in 2008 that, quote, the sacrament of marriage should not be changed, and that, quote, marriage is all through the Bible and it's not gender neutral. Now, in 2013, you want to redefine marriage and make it gender neutral. In doing so, you have betrayed the word of God and the people of God. To be candid, sir, I'm not surprised by your theological flip-flop, just pained and distressed by it. Since your name is still associated with evangelical Christianity in America, and you are a prominent church leader. In the past, you raised some valid criticisms about the religious right and its deep solidarity with the Republican Party, but then you joined yourself to the religious left and the Democratic Party, even campaigning for Democratic candidates. So much for taking a Kingdom of God position that transcends partisan politics and challenges the political establishment. To be sure, you've rightly challenged us to consider the poor and the oppressed, pointing to the hundreds of scriptures that call us to social justice. But then you've turned around and applauded communist dictatorships that championed oppression and tyranny. When it comes to Christian integrity, you disappointed us when you received funding from pro-abortion, pro-atheism billionaire George Soros, and when you allowed the Human Rights Campaign, the HRC, the world's largest gay activist organization, to take out paid advertising in your Sojourners magazine, even though the HRC would love to silence all religious opposition to homosexual practice. It is true that in 2008 you expressed having, quote, mixed feelings about the HRC ads, stating that you probably wouldn't do it again. But today the HRC celebrates your defection from biblical values, announcing in headline news, leading evangelical Christian voice announces support for marriage equality. Reverend Wallace, you have brought reproach to the name of Jesus, to the word of God, and to evangelical Christianity. You raised concerns for many of us when you argued in 2008 that justice requires Christians to support and even bless same-sex unions. But you also stated clearly in 2008, quote, I don't think the sacrament of marriage should be changed. Some people say that Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality, and that's technically true, but marriage is all through the Bible and it's not gender neutral. Now you have declared your support for the radical redefinition of marriage, explaining, I think we have to talk about now how to include same-sex couples in that deeper understanding of marriage. I want a deeper commitment to marriage that is more and more inclusive, and that's where I think the country is going. How can you say this is a student of the word and a professing disciple of Jesus? I'm sure you've met devoted gay couples that love each other and love the kids they're raising. I'm sure you've also met devoted, quote, gay Christians who have told you about the rejection and pain they have experienced at the hands of the church. And I'm sure you are concerned about the institution of marriage. But you don't strengthen marriage by making it genderless, by replacing bride and groom with partner A and partner B, or worse still, by adding formulas like, I now pronounce you husband and husband, or bride and bride. However sincere you might be, you are calling for changes that will ultimately result in removing the categories of mother and father from birth certificates, to be replaced instead with progenitor A and progenitor B, as is the case in Spain, where same-sex so-called marriage is accepted under the law of the land. Reverend Wallace, you don't strengthen marriage by removing its foundational components as emphasized by Jesus himself in Matthew 19, namely one man and one woman coming together in sacred lifelong union. Instead, by advocating for the radical redefinition of marriage, you align yourself with the many groups in America who want to marginalize, ostracize, and even criminalize religious opposition to same-sex so-called marriage. What has become of your Christian conscience? You even state that you want to make marriage, quote, more and more inclusive, which by extension means the support of polygamous marriage and polyamorous marriage and more. As the Marriage Equality blog states, advocating for the right of consenting adults to share and enjoy love, sex, residence, and marriage without limits on the gender, number, or relation of participants. Have you really considered the implications of your words? Worst of all, you've reversed your earlier position on what the Bible clearly says about marriage based largely on where the, quote, country's going. What? Jim Wallace, the critic of the religious establishment? Jim Wallace, the counterculture revolutionary? Jim Wallace, the advocate of a Jesus who changes the world rather than conforms to it? You, sir, are now willing to redefine one of the most foundational and sacred human institutions, the institution of marriage, based on where the country is going? Isn't that the path to spiritual and moral suicide? You, of all people, should know that as followers of Jesus, we're called to swim against the conformist worldly tide of the age, calling society back to the timeless ways of God, especially when society forsakes the Word of God and the God of the Word. Yet you have now joined in the apostasy, choosing to go with a populist flow, one that is becoming more anti-faith by the day, rather than having the courage and integrity to stand your ground. Reverend Wallace, your best years of ministry could still be ahead, but you will need to humble yourself and repent. I am praying that you do. Please pray with me for the repentance of Jim Wallace and that God you'd use him to speak life and truth to the nation. 866-348-7884. Call now, and we will get to your call right on the other side of the break in the new hour as we broadcast to other listeners across America. Does the Bible sanction anti-homosexual practice? Could it be that we're using the Bible to sanction our own prejudices? Could that be? How do we answer that charge? And was Jesus tolerant? Do people ever change? Is it possible? What's the evidence say? How do you respond to someone who says, I love Jesus and I'm a practicing homosexual? Get my 5-DVD series. It's a $60 series, but hang on. It will answer all these questions. It is so critically important. Pastors get them. Show them in your church. Home group leaders get them. Parents get them. Sit down with your teenage children and watch these. If you can afford to purchase them, please do. That would really help us. If you can afford to give more, please do. That would really help. But many of you can't. So for your gift of any size, we're sending this out. Don't let it just be the ones that have little. Those who have more, help us out. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My thank you gift to you for your gift of any size. 5-DVD set, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Tremendously important, impacting. And again, if you can help us with an additional gift, please do. We're on the front lines doing a good work, and you're helping us do it. You can also go to our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore and just order directly there for half price this week. My bottom line today, Helen Keller said we have courage for the abstract, not for the concrete. What's facing you in your own life where you live today? Stand up and do what's right where you live today. Well, there's a crisis in the church today. I'll tell you, it's a crisis of courage. And we can talk about dying for the faith. Are we willing to live for the faith today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, Leonard Ravenhill, saintly Leonard Ravenhill, great revivalist, dear friend, the last 5 years of his life, had the privilege of knowing him well. Leonard Ravenhill said, you can't develop character by reading books. You develop it from conflict. Winston Churchill said, you have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something sometime in your life. Michael Brown, not out to make enemies, but I would rather have someone become my enemy for speaking the truth in love than become my friend because I lied to them and compromised. And I will not lie to you or compromise. I'll speak the truth to you in love. And that's why you're listening, isn't it? 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Not 34-LIES, not 34-COMPROMISE, but 866-34-TRUTH. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So before I return to this of courage and being willing to stand in the midst of conflict, I've got a question for you. What message does America need to hear today? Does America need to hear, and I'm not just talking about in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon. In fact, I'm primarily not talking about the aftermath of the bombing. And there are mixed reports. Has a suspect been caught? Or suspects simply identified. I'm reading different reports on that, trying to catch up. There's not a lot of time during breaks. I'm doing other things as well here. But not even thinking about the horrific tragedy there and the lives that have been destroyed and torn apart. We grieve. We're in pain over that. But a week ago, a month ago, or today, what kind of message does America need to hear? Does America need wake up call? You're driving a car and the car is about to go off a cliff and you're going to die. Wake up call. Does America need to hear judgment is coming? Judgment is already in the land. Is that what America needs to hear? Or does America need to hear you're beaten up, you're discouraged, you're hurting, life is rough? God just wants you to know how much he loves you. Or is there some type of combination to the message? If you repent, God will have mercy on you. What kind of message does America need to hear? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me ask you a question. And then as soon as we come back, right after this first introductory shorter segment, as I broadcast live from Dallas, Texas. Oh, yeah. I'll take your calls right when we come back. But here's a question for you. Why are the prophets persecuted? Why were the prophets persecuted? Were they persecuted for bringing a message of comfort and security? Were they persecuted for bringing a message of God loves you, Israel, so much? Were they persecuted for saying, Israel, you're in sin? Were they persecuted for saying, you are defying God? Was John the Immerser put in prison for saying to Herod, I see the plan of God for your life and how he wants to raise you up as one of the greatest kings in history? Or was he persecuted for saying you are in an adulterous relationship? Did Felix get shaken up speaking to Paul in Acts 24 because Paul talked to him about what a wonderful, wonderful plan God had for him? Or did he get shaken up because Paul spoke to him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come? Jesus said we'd be persecuted the same way the prophets were. And Jesus said if the world hated him, it would hate us. What kind of message does America need to hear? And is it always the goodness of God leads us to repentance? Is that an always dictum for ministry? We'll take your calls, answer those questions when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm serious about moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Did radio yesterday, 866-348-7884. And again, thank you for those that prayed for me. I was so tired yesterday. I had such a full schedule, very full schedule today, but better rested today. Of course, your prayers are appreciated. But after radio, so 2 hours of live radio, then went from there to do recording, did 9 sessions of recording, met with some folks over dinner, but then 9 sessions of recording, so roughly 4.5 hours of consecutive teaching on answering Jewish objections to Jesus for an international Messianic Jewish Bible Institute. Then after that, Skyped California and spoke to some national leaders and some leaders over from Asia for about 1 hour, and then probably did another 20 minutes, half hour of Q&A, and a leading pastor in America just talked about the state of the nation now, and the pastor from Asia, the state of his nation, and the fact that we need a wake-up call in the church that we can talk about, oh, this one, they laid their lives down for the gospel. Oh, this one persecuted saint. Oh, what examples. But when it just comes to taking a stand for the truth, speaking what's right, going against the grain, maybe getting blasted on social media, maybe having some rich people leave the church, maybe having some friends or family members turn on you, maybe not getting a promotion or not getting a job or getting fired or getting kicked out of a program, all of which are relatively minor compared to what our brothers and sisters are going through around the world today and what they've gone through history and the example our Savior set for us. This is all very minor.
We're afraid of someone will put a nasty comment on my Facebook page.
Well, get over it. They didn't kill you. Get over it. And if they were nasty, maybe they don't know the Lord, or if they're Christians and nasty, they're having a bad day, pray for them. Jesus didn't say, oh, the day will come when people will blast you in social media. Be strong. No, he said, the day will come when people will kill you. Don't worry about it. That's all they can do. So that's what he said. 866-348-7884. What kind of message do we need to hear in America today? Let's go to Ed in Red Bank, New Jersey. Thanks for holding over into this hour, sir. What's your take on where we find ourselves today?
I think it's because the church is spiritually really weak. I think pastors and are afraid to, they selectively speak the truth, and so are the church leaders, and it might be because they're afraid of losing their jobs or for some other reason. And likewise, I think the audience don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah, so that's, you raise a very important question, Ed. And let me first speak with a little compassion and understanding about, let's say you've got a pastor, right? He has an extensive program of feeding the poor in his community. And he's just brought on some staff that we're going to help reach out to inner city kids. And every dime in that budget is precious. And if he takes a stand, say, about the marriage vote in his state, he knows he's going to alienate someone. He knows it's not his strongest point. Why alienate them when they're good giving people, they love the Lord, they just differ over this marriage issue? Because otherwise, if he loses that money, he's going to have to quit that ministry to the kids in the inner city and so on. In other words, the temptation to compromise, it can be more nuanced than we often make it seem. But here's my real question, and I wonder, and I want to put this out for my listening audience as well. Friends, do you think that your average born-again person in America, so someone who's committed to the Lord, they read the Word, at least they read the Word sometimes, they go to church regularly, they say that following Jesus is important. Do you think most of them want to hear a compromised message? Most of them want to hear a watered-down, feel-good kind of message. Do you think that's what most want to hear, or most want to hear the truth, even if it's costly? It's a great question. Ed says he thinks most don't want to hear the truth, and if you're a pastor and you know that, it's going to be very tempting to spoon-feed rather than to serve some real meat. Now, I've gone out and preached sometimes, and now, of course, they're coming to hear me, But I've gotten up and preached, said, okay, tell you what, you get to vote on what I speak on today. I can bring you an ear-tickling, carnal message that will destroy your souls, or I can speak the truth to you at any cost. Which one would you like? Thank you, Ed. Thanks for raising that. So I'm curious, and I want to open the phone lines to that as well. So, Johnny, phones are open to this as well. Not just, what do we need to hear? We're talking about America, secular America, the world. What does the world need to hear? What kind of message does it need to hear? But in the church, do you think that most believers, we're talking about genuine believers, people who've been born again, people who are following Jesus, do you think that your average believer in America wants to be stroked and coddled with a compromised, watered-down message, ear-tickling message, or do you think they want to hear the truth, take up the cross, follow Jesus? What do you think? And if you're listening and you're a younger person, you're, say, 25 or under, what do you think about younger believers? What do they want to hear? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mario in Boca Raton, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
So just to answer the first part of the question, I was, driving my car and just thinking about it. I think that we need to hear love first, and then following that, once love comes, then, the fear, wrath, and God and all that stuff would follow. But I think that, honestly, we in America, or maybe even the world, but maybe in America even more, we really don't know our true identity in Christ. I think we don't really know what true love is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to come to a fuller understanding of, what that love is, and, again, what our identity is. And then, once that happens and, our churches stop becoming pretty much what I call them, like, motivational speeches,
mm-hmm.
and they start being, I don't know what's missing. I mean, maybe the Holy Spirit, but they start being, spirit-led, spirit-filled.
Yeah, having God's real presence.
That's a controversial word, right? No one wants to talk about that.
Having God's real presence in our midst and God's real power in our midst, God's real conviction, that would make a massive difference. But, Mario, just a quick question for you.
Yeah.
If we separate the church from the world here, and speak on the one hand that believers need to understand their identity in Jesus. Well, the world does not have an identity in Jesus. The world has an identity in lostness and being objects of wrath that God loves. Does the world need to hear about true love before it understands the message of wrath and judgment? Or does it need to understand that sin has terrible consequences? However, there's a loving God willing to forgive.
I absolutely think that it has to be love first. And the only thing I can keep on thinking is that when Jesus roamed the world, the earth, what he would do is he would heal someone and then say, go and sin no more. So I think the love comes first, and then the message comes second. You can't try to tell someone,
So got it. You mean there needs to be a demonstration of real love?
Absolutely.
A demonstration of real love, and then the message, the wake-up call. Got it. Okay, loud and clear. I got that clarified. Thank you very much. Yeah, for sure. Let me say this. Without a doubt, we need to demonstrate the love of God. Without a doubt, we need to demonstrate the love of God through good works, through the compassion of Jesus, through bringing healing to the hurting, getting involved in the nitty-gritty of people's lives and failed marriages and suicides with teenagers, and just be there demonstrating the love of God, being who we really are as loving people in Jesus. Absolutely. Speaking to the nation as a whole, our caller was not saying we just need to preach love, love, love. He's saying we need to bring a message of judgment. So I'm asking that question. But of course, by all means, we need to demonstrate the reality of what Jesus does in a life. Ruth in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What kind of message do you think America needs to hear?
Repent, repent, repent. We have gone crazy. That's what America should hear all over the land from every Christian preacher that's really serving God.
Mm. What if someone says, Ruth, that's the same old-fashioned message, and it didn't work then, it's not going to work now? What would you say to that?
That's too bad, but that's what the Lord wants us to do. That he said repent.
Mm.
So that's what we're supposed to do. We have lost our way. I had a couple more little things I wanted to say about the McDonald thing. I think every woman that has a child and that has respect for herself should not go to McDonald's until they get it right, because that is disrespectful to us.
Yeah, and just, friends, for those that don't know what Ruth is talking about, she was listening in the first hour. And thank you for the call, Ruth. And I'm going to come back to the repent comments on the other side of this break. But a McDonald's in Seattle said, yeah, we've got to be sensitive to all of our customers and care for all of our customers, respect the needs of all of our customers. So gender identity will now be defined as the way you exclusively present yourself in public. So if a man presents himself in public as a woman, that's how he always presents himself, then he gets to use the ladies' bathroom because we want to be respectful of all of our customers. What kind of nonsense is that? Have compassion on this man who's struggling with his identity. But you are now spitting in the face of all your other customers. You're now spitting in the face of the mom with her girls. You just send the 2 7-year-old twins, yeah, just girls, go ahead, use the ladies' room. We can see you right from here. And then you see a man in a dress walk in there.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We got a call from Ruth in Manhattan a few minutes ago. She said the message America needs to hear is repent, repent, repent. We've lost our way. We've lost our mind. Now, by the way, for those of you who are listening who are outraged that I made reference to a man in a woman's dress, and you said you don't understand, that is a woman. Well, then you'd say a woman in a man's body. I say a man in a woman's dress. I say that person needs help. I say when I can see that that is a man, especially those who are older and come into this older and so evident who they are, I feel terrible for that person. They may say, oh, I'm beautiful. No, you actually look like a man. And people are wondering why you're wearing a dress. You may feel good about yourself, but it's actually drawing more attention than when you look like a man and felt conflicted on the inside. I feel bad for that person, but I'm not going to redefine society. I'm not going to redefine gender roles. I'm not now going to impose that on everybody else. That's where things are going. 866-348-7884. So when Ruth said we need to repent, 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 that's the message we need to preach to the world. Repent, repent, repent. Some of you might have said, ah, that turn and burn. Man, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Well, no one's saying be mean spirited. No one's saying be yelling and screaming. No one's saying be there on a street corner in jacket and tie and using the King James Bible only and yelling at people. We had folks where we lived in Pensacola, Florida, that would do that. Well, they were devoted, but normally when we were reaching people on the streets with the gospel, the first thing we had to do is tell them we're not them, because they were so turned off to this angry, hateful, vengeful Jesus that we had to say, no, that's not the Jesus of the scripture. That's not who we are. Nothing wrong with using the King James. Nothing wrong with using wearing a suit. I'm just talking about this, the way this particular group looked. The question is, though, does the message need to hear, does the world need to hear a message of just kindness and love and compassion and goodness and God knows your pain and he cares about you and Jesus died for you? Or is that mitigating human guilt? Is that minimizing human guilt? Is that making light of human sin? 866-34-TRUTH. I'll go back to the phones momentarily, but listen to this in Romans 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. From passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. Oh, those people, they're unclean. Well, what about the uncleanness in your life? Well, those people, they're such hypocrites. What about the hypocrisy in your life? That's what Paul's saying. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things, which is listed at the end of Romans 1, every type of sin of the flesh, internal, external. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things, yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Now, people have taken from that, from Romans 2, and said, well, God's kindness is what leads us to repentance. So we just preach the kindness of God. No, that's not what the verse is saying. Oh, yes, I believe in the power of the message of the love of God. I absolutely believe in the transforming power of the message of the love of God. Yes, yes. It's not either or to me. And I want to hear what you have to say in a moment. But, Paul's not saying that in Romans 2, that you just preach the kindness of God. Go to Acts, the second chapter. See the opening message with the outpouring of the Spirit where Peter preaches. The very first public message that's preached after the outpouring of the Spirit. And see if it's primarily a message of the kindness of God, or is it a message of rebuke for rejecting and crucifying the Messiah. And then, when they cry out, what do? Repent with an offer of mercy. So, what Paul's saying there is don't take for granted God's kindness. The reason God hasn't judged you yet. Mike Brown, 16 years old, shooting heroin, stealing money from your own father, living a wicked, decadent life. Don't think, hey, man, I'm cool, I'm fine. I'm not like these other people, they're really bad. No. Don't presume on God's kindness, because God's kindness, the fact he hasn't poured out judgment on you yet, you foul sinner. You know, that's speaking of me or some that fit that, me before I was saved, or some that are in rebellion now. Okay, you robbed a bank, but you didn't kill someone. No. Don't presume on God's kindness. The reason he hasn't poured out judgment on you for stealing is because his kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. He's giving you time. And it could be when you recognize how deeply he loves you that will spring you to repentance. But you also need to understand that your sins will damn you. That your sins are ugly and destructive in the sight of God. That there's no way out and no excuse for human sin. That when we stand before God, we'll be called guilty as charged. And America right now is guilty in God's sight. God wants to offer mercy, but it'll be on the heels of repentance. 866-348-7884. Gary in Largo, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Good. Even in listening, to your first question about, what's our message for America? And then in just listening to your reference to Acts 2, and one of the things that came to mind was 2 Chronicles 7:14 as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference was, I think, in what we're facing today in message to America is that Peter and also, back in 2 Chronicles, you had the same situation with Paul and talking to people who knew about God. It's kind of like us today talking to the church, which desperately needs to happen. And I think probably when I first heard your question, the thought that first came to my mind was there are really two messages here. One message that is probably most brutally needed and most desperately needed is not to America first, but to the church first.
Mm-hmm.
America and the world around us, this just happens to be the society where we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. We just happen to be here in this location. We could just as easily be ambassadors for Christ in North Korea or Sudan or someplace like that, but this is where we just happen to be. But, as ambassadors for Christ, the first message I think needs to be to those of us who carry the name of Christ in the fact that, in general, we don't take him seriously. We've kind of so intermeshed with society and with the particular political bent in general and evangelical Christianity, that we are no longer recognizable as those who have been with Jesus.
Yes.
And we have this, we've been fighting the wrong enemy. In Ephesians 6:12, we're reminded that the enemy is never human beings, that it's always the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And yet we continually have fought with the world's weapons and joined in with the world's ideologies, rather than resting in the beautiful, perfect peace of Christ, the truth of Christ that we have in the world.
Yeah, and just to, yeah, Gary, just to jump in, and you said a lot that's important. I've got a break coming up. We have not taken God seriously enough in the church. How is the world going to take him seriously? The world hardly knows who he is. The world may be more familiar with an atheist misrepresentation of God than with the true representation. We have to be the ones who've been with Jesus and demonstrate a serious, changed life. We need to tell the society who God is. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll take your calls on the other side of the break. I've got some quotes I want to share with you that will stir you, charge you, challenge you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire as I broadcast live from Dallas, Texas, in the midst of a very intense schedule. Much appreciating your prayer support yesterday that carried me through an entire day, and your prayer support today would be much appreciated as the schedule is intense and blessed. And all of you living in greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, please visit me Saturday morning. I'll be speaking at Baruch Hashem Congregation for my dear friend Marty Waldman, and then I'll be doing a seminar Saturday afternoon and all day Sunday. For details, go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and then click on the itinerary. Just look at the bottom of the page. You'll see the details there. So here's a question for you. If Paul was alive today in our midst, or Peter was alive today in our midst, what message would they be bringing to the nation? If they were speaking to the nation, we're not speaking to the church right now, but to the world. Would they say, America, you are destroying yourself? America, God's ways are holy, and he hates violence, and he hates the violence of abortion, and he hates the gratuitous violence and the bloodshed in the streets, and he stands for family and purity. He hates the pornography. He hates the breakdown of the family. He hates the goals of gay activism to undermine biblical family values. He hates the injustice and the sins of the nation. Repent and turn to God, and he'll have mercy on you. Remember the Christian heritage you have. Remember the gospel truths you've had, and repent. Jesus died for your sins. There's a better way. Or would he, Paul, Peter, would they be saying, America, you just need to find your identity in the love of God. You need to find your security in the love of God. You need to rest in his goodness and receive his love so that you can have a blessed life. Or would they be bringing a message of the two? 866-348-7884. I want to go right to the phones. Keith in Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
I was thinking about your earlier remark. To answer your question first about that, there's no question what Paul would do. He'd stand tall. I mean, he suffered the greatest persecution as a man of God and still managed to write the letters and leave us with a great legacy of truth in Jesus Christ. So there's no question what he would do and how he would speak to America. Unfortunately, you earlier spoke about compromise, and I've talked with a lot of people about the great crippler of America and of life is compromise, in my opinion, after talking with some people, whether it's political, religious or social matters, compromise weakens whatever label you're dealing with. And it is so hard for people to change away from holding on to my status, whatever it might be, holding on to my thinking, and never mind what's going on or what the truth might really be. And it saddens me. And the last thought, in Sunday school not long ago, we were talking about Peter, and you said the compromise thing, and I immediately thought about one of the greatest compromises in our history is that he gave up Jesus for a few coins from the Romans, and he knew him as intimately as anyone who ever was on this earth, and for all that you do, I think.
Well, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for the kind words, Keith. And let me say this. There is a lot of compromise. I spoke to national leaders last night in California and from Asia. One sat with tears, just a very small group that I addressed. One sat with tears and just talked about the compromise in the church and the compromise among leaders. These are national leaders and how we're just going to have to stand. We're going to have to stand. Look, if I tell you, oh, I can't even walk up the steps without collapsing because my heart is so weak, but I'm telling you, I'm going to run a mile next week without stopping, and I'll do it in 5 minutes. It's not going to happen. If we're not standing now when it's relatively easy, how are we going to stand when it gets heavy and rough? Wake up call.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So as we've been trying to catch up on the news as we have opportunity during some breaks, earlier it was reported that a suspect was arrested in the bombing at the Boston Marathon. Now they said not arrested, but identified. So anyway, that is the latest news in case you've been wanting to follow it and haven't been able to. 866-348-7884. Boy, I'm just looking at some tremendous quotes that were just sent to me by my faithful producer, Matt. A.W. Tozer, we are not diplomats, but prophets. And our message is not a compromise, but an ultimatum. Well, I'm going to tweet that one out later. We are not diplomats, but prophets. And our message is not a compromise, but an ultimatum. A.W. Tozer. And then G. Campbell Morgan. The reason why men do not look to the church today is that she has destroyed her own influence by compromise. You say, I'm not familiar with G. Campbell Morgan. Oh, he wrote that probably 100 plus years ago. Wow. Wow. And he was in England. He would not believe the state of things in America today, or even more in England, 100 plus years later. 866-348-7884. Daryl in Durham, North Carolina, thank you for calling the line of fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Well, my issue, I mean, it stems from the church and it compromised. And the only reason you would compromise is you gave the example of, you know, a parishioner at church who isn't as strong, but the money they give provides for other things. Well, that provision should come from God. And that's about faith. And I think we have a lack of faith in the church because we're relying on the men in the church to come through and this parishioner and your 10%. And that's not the way God. There's a reason I don't go to church. I read my Bible every day. I commune with the Lord every day at a set time every morning. I'm in tune with the Spirit of God that lives within me. I am not in tune with the weakness that church is about. Church is about weakness and essentially giving in to the people because they're a bigger group and they have a higher 10% than the people that are a spirit. It, to me, it's just like anything else. You work better with strength than you do any amount of weakness. So if your church congregation is 100 strong spiritual Christians who are willing to toe the line with you in faith, then that's your church. It doesn't have to be 1,000 or 900 of them are weak and essentially won't do anything. If we, you know, we made a comment that, you know, we don't live in some of these other countries that really require your faith to be tested on a daily basis. Our faith hasn't been tested since the Civil War, essentially. We're not fighting a battle of individuals. We're fighting spiritual warfare with people who don't even know who they are spiritually, let alone to understand the power of the Holy Spirit within them.
Yeah, and Daryl, let me just jump in the midst of what you're saying here. In point of fact, there are strong believers. There are committed believers. There are many in the church. There are strong, committed leaders. But all too often, you're right, we water things down for the weakest common denominator, as opposed to saying, hey, if you're new in the Lord, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, we're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. And we want you to be strong to fight in the front lines of the army of God. It's like, no, we'll never get to be the army of God, by which I mean the spiritual army, laying down our lives to touch a hurting, dying world. No, we'll never get there because we're just coddling. We're just coddling, and the message is just, you don't want to offend anybody. Just coddle, 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 coddle. Somehow I don't see coddling when Paul wrote his letters. Somehow I don't see coddling in the preaching of Jesus. Was Jesus not a good shepherd? Was Jesus not pastoral enough? The good shepherd, the great shepherd, was he not pastoral enough? If all we do is coddle, and we never warn, and we never rebuke, and we never warn the world, and we never speak to... How is anybody going to know about judgment? How is anyone going to know about the price, the cost, the consequence of sin? 866-348-7884. And I don't think everybody just wants to be coddled. I think there are plenty of people that have had it with being coddled. Let me say again, you want to help the weakest, most wounded, most hurting person and put value on them because Jesus does. And that's where real shepherds just go out and they reach these people with tremendous patience. And all of us need to do that and care about those that don't seem to have much to offer. But you show me where the New Testament pattern is to coddle, 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 coddle. It is to speak the truth in love. It is to ground people in their glorious identity in Jesus, loved by God, and speak the truth. Let's go to Susan in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. If you'll bear with me, I have just a few points that I'd like to make here. My opinion is that there really needs to be balance in today's message, because people listen to folks like Joel Osteen because they are so desperate for encouragement. But Osteen's messages, they're short on sin and consequences and the deeper biblical truths. People need to know that, yes, sin has immediate gratification, but God's way has the long-term benefits, eternal benefits. So when we focus on one or the other consistently, we're only getting half the message.
Yes, let me say this, Susan. I'm sorry, we just had a little problem with your connection, but we got it clear there. Somebody help me with this. I'm not here to attack Joel Osteen. I honestly or obviously would wish that he would bring a message of repentance and conviction and the holiness of God and the truth of God and judgment along with the message of encouragement. I'm glad that he's a smiling face and that a lot of the media identifies Jesus with a smiling face as opposed to a mean-spirited preacher. And I don't doubt Joel's love for people. I would simply say the message is grossly imbalanced based on the New Testament pattern and based on what people need. But are people so desperate to hear that message of encouragement? Are people that discouraged? Maybe I should do a whole show on that. Are people that discouraged and desperate to hear that message? Or is it just that we have created the environment where that's what people expect to hear and think they need to hear? Does that make sense? What do you think? I know the phone lines are jammed. Maybe I can get to some that score as well. 866-348-7884. But thank you. Thank you for raising those points, Susan. I appreciate it. Leah in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks.
Good. In reference to your topic and your questions, I kind of feel like God calls each person with a specific message, but I also feel like that, obviously the full gospel does include repentance and love and grace and et cetera. So if we're not preaching repentance, then we're missing the full gospel. We're just missing it. But, as an example, my husband and I, we teach a college group, and he is very much the repent guy. He's the John the Baptist of the two of us. He's repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is now, the Lord has really laid on me a message that's heavier in grace, mm-hmm. not compromise. I don't want to hear that. But one of the scriptures, the Lord, and I don't have my Bible, and my husband's my walking, talking Bible, and I would have to actually look it up, but I'm in the car. But there's scripture that speaks of bearing the fruit of repentance. And I just think that even in a grace message, repentance is so important. So, he and I together, he teaches repentance. I teach grace. He teaches repentance wrapped in love and grace. I teach grace wrapped in repentance.
They are two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
If you turn away from, first, repentance is an offer from God. In other words, he's saying, I haven't damned you. I haven't condemned you. Come back to me.
Right.
And if you turn away from your sin, I'll turn away from your judgment. And when we turn to him, we're met with mercy and compassion and love and goodness. And when you mention fruits of repentance, Matthew 3 and Luke 3, John the Immerser called the religious hypocrites to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And then in Acts 26, Paul said that he preached that people should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. But the fact is, the message of repentance is one that springs from the heart of God that loves people.
Yes,
and doesn't
I totally
want to see
agree.
Them destroyed. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, it drives me nuts because I hear so often, well, we're not going to point out somebody's sin. They already know it's sin. No, they don't. No, they don't. Or maybe they don't care. But whether or not they know or they don't know or they care or they don't care, I have to love you enough to tell you you're wrong. My very best friend passed
yes.
away a week ago, and she was a homosexual, and I, for years, cried to her.
Yeah, so she knew you loved her. She knew you loved her. And her greatest issue, of course, is not homosexuality, but knowing God, turning from the sin that infects all of us. Leah, thank you. You and your husband sound like you make a great team.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, reports from Boston of hospital evacuated, courthouse evacuated, chaos is trying to track what's happening. Look, when we have this kind of chaos in America, when we see the needs, the tragedies, when we see the suffering, when we see how messed up our country is in so many ways, we need God. Needs the message we bring to the people. We need God. America, you need God. America, you need to turn to God. America, you need to look to the Lord. God wants to have mercy. Turn back. We've sinned. We've blown it. We're such a messed up nation. We've lost our way. Turn to God. He wants to have mercy. Turn to God before it's too late. Friends, that's got to be an essential part of our message. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Daniel in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you, Brother Brown. Appreciate it.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The last four callers all made interesting statements. They said that they believe, it's my opinion, I think, and maybe it is. You know, this is the common mindset of probably the majority of the Christians inside of America. We have,
well, hang on. You just said probably. You just said probably. So are you giving your opinion now? I just heard you say probably.
The probability of all Christians being that way is probably pretty high. In fact, if you go to James Dobson's own statistics, he could see those statistics reflect that. So if you want to punch numbers, we can do that all day long. But the truth is...
No, Daniel. My only issue is people are calling and they're speaking with humility and saying, hey, my viewpoint, my opinion. Okay?
I know, humility.
They're not necessary. And now you're going to give your viewpoint, your opinion, which
well,
you're welcome
my opinion
to.
Well, is irrelevant, but what the scriptures say is irrelevant. And I know what humility is.
Daniel, weren't they quoting scriptures?
But I will say this.
Weren't they quoting scriptures? When Ruth in Manhattan said, we need to repent, wasn't that quoting scripture?
What's going on right now, the dialogue between you and I is exactly what the issue is. You see, we have over 30,000 registered denominations in the world.
But you have the truth.
And you know,
you have the truth and everybody else doesn't.
This is exactly the problem right here. You see, there's
all right,
no
here, Daniel, here's the problem. We got a bunch of other people. The problem is you call and criticize the last four callers, that they're going to give you their opinion, but you're going to tell the truth. That's what you're missing. And now you're going to have a persecution complex where, see, I cut you off. No, I want to give folks an opportunity to respond to an honest question and not to have other callers call in and criticize all my other callers because they didn't get on and say, this is what the Lord says, this is what the Word says. They're doing their best to represent what they understand the Word says, just like you were going to do. But tell you what, maybe we'll meet face-to-face one day, and I'll challenge every bit of what you believe based on Scripture and see if you are a perfectly orthodox believer or not. Fair enough? All right. Not a good way to start by criticizing all the previous callers, okay? Tom in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
It's a quick comment, and then I want to ask you a question. My comment is that every time I seem to put on the radio or just hear Christian preaching in general, I hear something which I agree with, which is that homosexual and gay, you know, activists are trying to redefine marriage and redefine, you know, the family, and that's fine and well. I totally agree with that. But here's my question and how it relates to compromise. I'm just wondering if the church hasn't already redefined marriage itself by calling many remarriages and other situations marriage, when in fact, according to the Bible, they're adultery.
You bet.
I think I
you
read
bet.
One of your books once years ago where you mentioned that yourself, and I was just curious
no question.
Why nobody speaks out on that.
Tom, there's no question that no-fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to destroy marriage than gay activism has. Now, the reason we're talking about this is because every single day there's another lawsuit. Every single day there's another fight in the courts. Every single day the media is blasting things. So this is knocking on our doors.
That, I understand how it's occurring.
But Tom, let me make two statements. First, let me agree with you that there are many divorces and remarriages in the body today that have zero scriptural basis. The people just fell out of love, they said, or they weren't compatible or whatever. They were having problems. They divorced, they remarried. And those relationships could well be considered adulterous in God's sight. Number one. So I'm agreeing with you there. Number two, just the general problem of adultery of the heart. This is a much bigger issue for 99% of Christians than the issue of what are they going to do with homosexuality. So just lust in our hearts, carnality, pornography in our midst. Yeah, of course. So we've lost our moral standing. Why should the world listen to us when we talk about these issues? That's why, Tom, I've publicly apologized to the homosexual community many times, saying we have been poor examples, and we can't speak to you with moral superiority because of the compromise in our midst. Now, that doesn't mean that we step away from confronting what's wrong in society. It means that we repent and do what's right and do what's right and speak the truth to the society. I agree with you. Let's just see here. Alicia in Durham, North Carolina, we're really short on time, but just weigh in quickly if you can.
Yes, I just wanted to make a quick comment. Something that you said at the end before you went to break about how we're going to be able to really stand in the end if we can't stand now.
Yeah.
And I think that here in the United States, especially Americans, our faith doesn't cost us anything. You know, the persecution that we face here is minimal versus what they face in other countries. And if we had to really stand on what we believe, and if it really cost us our lives, if it cost us our property, we would have a very different attitude. And those times are coming. I don't think people really understand that. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of right now America is like Noah crying out saying the flood is coming, and we're not listening because really we don't have to. And that's really my comment. But again,
I'm with you. Thanks for stating that plainly. That's why for years I've read about the persecuted church. That's why we work with the persecuted church. That's why I work with those families of those who've been martyred. That's why we stand together. That's why I go overseas a lot, because it's a reality check. It helps us to understand what it really means to follow Jesus. Friends, just read the New Testament afresh as if it really applied to us, and let's start living it out. And I'll tell you, the opposition will be there, but there'll be grace to overcome in the midst of it, and we'll find out what it really means to be the church. Thank you for the call. Friends, the questions about what the Bible says about homosexuality and how do we minister to the gay and lesbian community, these are such pressing issues. And what about tolerance? Was Jesus tolerant? I have a 5-DVD set. It sells for $60. I wish I could just press a button and download the information into all of your heads and hearts with it. You'd be enriched by it as I was enriched in preparing it and presenting it. I know not all of you can afford that. Some of you can. Some of you can give more. Please do help us. Stand with us. Help us make a difference on the front lines here. You know, by God's grace, we're not backing down from the truth. But your gift of any size, because many of you can't afford that, I want to send this to you. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. When you call, we'll send this out, the $60 series, your gift of any size. Friends, my bottom line today, let's read about the persecuted church around the world. Let's read church history. Let's read the New Testament. Let's take it seriously. Let's live this out. The time is now.